preaching of the word this afternoon was prepared by Reverend John Haverland from the Reformed Church of Pukekohe. Let us all open our Bible to our text, Psalm 119, verses 145 to 152. Verse 145. I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for your help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old, you have founded them forever. Sometimes, when we are in a difficult situation and in need of help, we are reluctant to ask other people for assistance. There may be a variety of reasons for that. Maybe we don't want to bother other people, or we're too proud to ask for help, or we don't want to be dependent on other people. But if we are in genuine need, it is foolish not to ask for help because others are usually very willing to assist. If they found out that we had been struggling along on our way, they would say, "Why didn't you tell us? We would have been very happy to help you." If this is how it is to those around us, how much more when we are in need, when we need help from God, our Father? Again, we don't ask. Maybe you just forget to pray. Maybe you're just too independent and thought about sorting out it on your own. Maybe you're too proud to turn on God. But this is foolish because God is more than willing to help you, and He is more than able to do so. He has infinite resources available to Him, and He is abounding in loving kindness. In times of need, we learn from this part of Psalm 119 where this man prayed earnestly for God's salvation. As he puts his hope in God's word, this encourages us to pray earnestly to God because of His love and promises. We look at three things. The psalmist's cry to God. Second is his concentration on God. And the third is his confidence in God. His cry to God. I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. Throughout this long psalm, this believer had been in trouble from his enemies. They were oppressing him, mocking him, and slandering his name. In response, he prayed to God. He did not try to muddle along in his own strength, nor did he turn to the pagan gods of Ashtaroth or Baal, as many did in Israel. Today, people cry out to Allah or Buddha or to the evil spirits of this world. This man cried out to the Lord, knowing that God alone could help him. And we should also do the same. He cried with all of his heart. There are many people who will never call on God with their whole heart at any point in their lives. And there are others whose prayers are formal, who merely go through the ceremony of prayer, who say their prayers as on autopilot. They pray that they may be more spiritually minded when their hearts are very worldly. They pray for a lively faith when they have no real interest in Jesus. They pray that they might live fully for God when they actually just want to live in the world. The prayers of this believer are very different from those formal prayers. He prayed wholeheartedly, with sincerity and genuine faith. He was urgent and fervent in prayer, earnest and passionate. Your prayers may not be expressed in beautiful words. They may not have a great depth of doctrine. They may not have to be grammatically correct. But none of that matters at all. What matters is that you call on God with all your heart and that you are sincere and genuine in prayer. In verse 146, the psalmist echoes the previous line using the same Hebrew word for call. I call out to you, save me. He wanted God to save him from the oppression and slander of his enemies. But his prayer includes all we need as sinners: pardon for sin, acceptance by God, access into his presence, the ability to resist temptation, the strength in times of trial, and comfort in suffering. All we need can be summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the hymn says, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faith, heal the sick and lead the blind." Congregation, everything you and I need is to be found in the person and the work of our Lord and Savior. In response, this man promised to obey God's decrees and to keep his statutes. He was committed to God and his laws and was determined to obey them. Many people have been in situations of trouble and they cry out to God, "If you get me out of this mess, I'll go to church. I'll give a lot of money to the poor. I'll mend my ways to reform my life." But after the crisis has passed and they have regained their health, they promptly forget the promises they made. Not so with this man. His promises were sincere, and his love for God's word and commands was completely genuine. He prayed for God's salvation in order that he might keep these commands. Is this your genuine desire? Is this the motive of your prayer for salvation, that you may obey God's decrees? Second, his concentration on God. I rise before dawn and cry for help. He continues this subject of prayer. In this great need, he was committed to prayer and he wanted God's help so much that he was prepared to get up early before dawn to pray to the Lord. Jesus said this, very early in the morning, Jesus did this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Many of us usually read the Bible and pray in the morning. But sometimes we are cozy in bed and we get up too late to spend time with the Lord. The best time to read the Bible and pray is in the morning, early, before we begin all our work and activities of our day. But often, we are too undisciplined or too lazy to do this. Let us take note of the example of this man and of the Lord Jesus, who got up early and prayed. The early morning will not suit everyone, especially mothers who are up with the little children at first light, or those whose brains don't click into gear until mid-morning after 3 cups of coffee. If the morning is not your best time, then find another time that works for you to read your Bible and pray. Not only did he get up early to pray, but he also stayed awake through the watches of the night as to meditate on God's promises. Sometimes, we lie awake at night worrying about family members, others in the church, and problems at work. At night, these problems and concerns always seem much bigger, and are more serious than they do in the morning. Jesus commands us not to worry about our life, food, clothes, or about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Instead of worrying at night, we need to meditate on God's promises, to reflect on His goodness to us, to put our trust in Him, to lay our concerns before Him. Meditating on God's promises, says Spurgeon, is the fuel which sustains the flame of prayer. Meditating on God's word feeds and nourishes our prayers. In his parable of the friend at midnight and the persistent widow, Jesus urged us to keep praying. He set us an example of such prayer before choosing his 12 disciples. He went up to the mountainside and spent the night praying to God. There are times in our lives when we need to concentrate on God in prayer. Personally, or as a married couple, as a family, or as a church, it is a great privilege to pray together as a church, and the prayer meetings are among one of the most important gatherings of the congregation. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." His cry to God and his concentration on God. In verse 147, he returned to his theme of crying out to God and praying, "Hear my voice in accordance with your love." Notice that he prayed with his voice. Sometimes it is helpful to pray out loud. When you pray in your mind, it is very easy to lose concentration and for your mind to wander off the subject. Whereas praying out loud forces you to think and to concentrate on what you are saying. That is the benefit of praying together as a married couple, with your children, or with a Christian friend. And it can also be of help in your personal prayers when you are talking by yourself to God. He prayed on the basis of God's love or His loving kindness. This translates a rich and beautiful Hebrew word that includes God's mercy, goodness, and grace. According to Spurgeon, loving kindness is one of the sweetest words in our language, and it is the cream of kindness. We do not pray to God on the basis of what we deserve, because as sinful human beings, we don't deserve anything at all. Rather, we pray on the basis of God's love, and that in His mercy and grace, He might hear our voice and answer us in His abounding love, even though sinners as we are. This loving kindness of God is seen most clearly in His Son, Jesus. Even while we were sinners, God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. Part of the verse 149 has a parallel in the next line. "Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws." The word translated laws can also be translated as justice, which would be a good parallel with God's love. Again, if we prayed for God to respond to us in justice, we can only expect to be punished for our sins. Rather, we are praying as Christians who know that we have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, and that God has removed our sins far from us on the basis of the death of Jesus on the cross. So we pray, "Preserve my life, O God, according to your justice seen in your Son." This man's confidence in God is expressed in verse 150 and 151, which set up as a clear contrast between the wicked and the Lord. "Those who devise wicked schemes are near," he says. "His enemies were close at hand, hard on his heels, seeking to do him harm." They were the cause of his troubles and trials, and this is why he prayed so earnestly. This was true of the Lord Jesus at various times in his ministry. The Pharisees and the Sadducees devised wicked schemes to put him to death and plotted against him. Yet you are near, O Lord. His enemies were near, but so too was the Lord. And God was more powerful than his enemies, so he was safe. He knew that God would never leave him nor forsake him. In verse 114 of this psalm, he wrote, "You are my refuge and my shield." This is what God said to Abraham in Genesis. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield." The prophet Elisha knew this when he was in the city of Dothan, surrounded by his enemies. His servant was afraid, but Elisha assured him that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When you are afraid, remember that the Lord is near. When you feel that danger is near, remember that the Lord is with you. This contrast between his enemies and the Lord are also there in other parallel lines. The wicked are far from your law, but the psalmist knew that all your commands are true. The wicked of our day do not know God's laws, and they certainly do not keep them. God's commands mean nothing to them, and they disregard and disobey them. But we know that all of God's commands are trustworthy and true. They are right and reliable, and we seek to live by them and put them into practice. This brings the psalmist to his conclusion for this section. "Long ago, I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever." This psalm was probably not written by a young man, but rather by an older believer who had known God and his laws for a long time. Not only from his reading, but also even more from his personal experience of God. He knew that all God's promises were true. He knew that this is not just an intellectual experience, but also experientially. Many of us here know what this is like. You may have known from the Bible that God is full of love and compassion, that he will sustain you in sickness and sorrow, but then you actually go through a serious illness or through great grief. And then you learn that this, by personal experience, but your knowledge of God and his word is all the richer and fuller for that. What's more, we know that God has established his statutes to last forever. We live in a day and age where people are always after something new and different. Many want constant change, but God is unchanging, immutable, solid and firm, and his laws are reliable, dependable and applicable to every age and every generation. Spurgeon wrote, "We are satisfied with the truth, which is as old as the hills and as fixed as the great mountains." Because God and his word do not change, we can cry out to God in prayer. We can concentrate our minds on him. We can be confident in his loving kindness and nearness to us as his people through his Son, Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come before you with humble hearts, grateful for the truths you have revealed us through your word. As we reflect on the message we have heard today about praying from the heart, we are reminded of your boundless love and faithfulness towards us. Lord, help us to learn from your example of the psalmist who cried out to you with all his heart in times of trouble. Teach us to earnestly seek your face, knowing that you are our refuge and strength in times of need. May our prayers be characterized by sincerity and genuine faith, as we come before you with all our concerns and burdens. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have been hesitant to bring our needs before you, relying on our own strength instead of turning to you in prayer. Grant us the courage to approach your throne boldly, knowing that you are eager to hear our to hear and answer our prayers according to your will. Help us, Lord, to concentrate to you in prayer, setting aside distractions and worries as we meditate on your promises. May your word be our guide and our source of strength, sustaining us through every trial and challenge we face. Give us confidence in your unfailing love and nearness to us, even in the midst of our adversity. Help us to trust you in your unchanging nature and your eternal promises, knowing that you are faithful to fulfill your promises and purposes for us. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.